News Talk 790 KNST.
And good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Jacobs on the Law here on News Talk 790 KNST. I'm your host, Henry Jacobs, and we are back to explore the wonders and mysteries and secrets of the law here in Arizona. I'm an attorney in practice here in Tucson, Arizona, and I'll be presenting this show every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock right here on this radio station, News Talk 790 KNST. Now, as I mentioned, folks, earlier this show is brand new, and I'm sure that you folks are going to be understanding if I get a little tied up here. But we were talking for a moment about bankruptcy, and I wanted to just say a couple of words about it. As I had mentioned, folks, the law did change in 2005, and it did convince a lot of people who weren't real familiar with those changes that bankruptcy was no longer available to them. That is not so, folks. I'm here to tell you that what they did basically was to add a few hoops. Now, what I can tell you, folks, is if you're considering a bankruptcy or an insolvency situation, you really should have the advice of an attorney in this climate, because what that law did is it added a number of provisions that are these so-called automatic dismissals. The court shall dismiss if you don't do a particular thing. And a part of our job is to get you through that bankruptcy process, if you do need it, intact, and get you the relief that the Congress has said that you should have. And I will tell you that folks come in all the time to the office, and they say they basically are very embarrassed to be there, and they're very embarrassed to have trouble with their debts and to be seeking that relief. What I tell folks, and I say this over and over again, this is federal law. It's part of our United States Code, it's Title 11, and this is law that's made by the Congress. They intend for you to have this relief. You have to do what they say, but the Congress wants you to have this relief. Now, we do have a few callers here with some other topics for us, and I do want to pick these folks up. I have on line one, Betty Jean, who has a family law question. Now, I'll be very honest with you folks, family law is not something I do a lot of, but I do have some knowledge of it, and I'll do the best I can. Betty Jean, tell us about your problem. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I have a question. I have a 65-year-old brother that got very ill the first of the year.
All right.
And he went into a nursing home.
Okay.
During the process of having him get ill, his daughter got rid of his trailer, everything in it. She's got everything at her home, got rid of the trailer, took his wallet, what money was in the wallet, and IDs and everything.
All right. Tell
he
me about...
He will not return anything.
Okay.
I have a social worker. I've been dealing with adult protection services.
Okay, now let me ask you this question. This individual's still alive, is that right?
Yes, he's doing very well.
And this is another family member who apparently took some of his personal possessions and won't give them back?
Yes.
Well, Betty, I have a very, very simple solution to that problem. We do call that theft. That's very simple. And the correct solution to that problem would probably be to call the police non-emergency number.
And we did call the police.
And what did they say about it?
They consider it a domestic issue. She's changed her phone number. We can't reach her.
Well, I'll tell you.
Near the property.
There are very few ways to force people to do things they don't want to do. The police is one, and I would certainly go down. Is this in the city of Tucson?
Yes.
I would probably go down to TPD headquarters and have a discussion with one of their elder abuse people. They do have some folks who are expert in that particular field.
The police station?
That's what it sounds like to me. This sounds like what they call an elder abuse situation where a vulnerable adult would be taken advantage of. And that's going to be against Arizona law, and you're going to find that the Tucson Police Department and the Arizona Attorney General both have folks who are specialists in that area.
Can you tell me what Pima Council of Aging is for?
They are a generic. They're a group that does advocacy for the elderly, and they also have some programs. You may wish to talk to them, but when we talk about forcing people to do things, there are two ways to do it, and one is the police, who have guns.
Okay.
And the other way is through courts who issue orders. So I thank you for your call, Betty Jean, and you have a good day. And Victor has been waiting very patiently for his red light question. We just need to take this question. Victor, you are on News Talk 790 KNST on Jacobs on the Law. What can I do for you, sir?
Yes, sir. First of all, thank you so much for this kind of a community service program. I'm very pleased that you're taking the time out of your day to do this for us.
Well, it's my pleasure, Victor. How can I help you today?
question is about these red light cameras. There's one at Oracle and River Road that's apparently has a reputation of doing the majority of these. I guess it's timing of the light.
Victor, let me ask you a quick question. Have you yourself been subject to one of these cameras?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
My wife owns a car, but she doesn't have a driver's license.
Uh-huh.
Because of that, family and friends and so forth drive the car.
Well, now...
She got one of these, and we received a thing in the mail that obviously the person driving the car was a male, and she owns the car, so they said, can you please identify
Victor,
this? And I just pitched it.
Victor, let me just tell you that we have a couple of minutes here, but I'm going to lay this out in a nutshell for you. The red light program it has actually been around for a long time, these cameras, but only now are they really starting to hit their stride. In the last year, they've really become prolific and really moved down here to Tucson. The way this system works is they have to identify a driver, and if the driver is obviously not the owner of the car, then they send a note to the driver or to the owner of the car demanding basically that they identify the driver. This system is built on a premise of voluntary confession. And what the system will not work if people do not confess. So if you weren't the driver, they're hoping you'll tell them who was. We're going to be going in the next half hour into this in some detail. But basically, if you're not the driver of the car, you simply indicate that that is the case. If the photo ticket, if the photograph basically indicates that you're not the driver, it was someone of a different sex or different appearance, you're not going to be charged with this with this offense. They will not file the charge in court. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about this process. But the bottom line, Victor, is I don't think that you would have anything to worry about. So thank you for giving us a call on News Talk 790 KNST. And we're going to cover one other item here before our news break. And I wanted to talk just for a moment about our website, which is at jacobsbklaw.com. Now, right now, it's a mostly bankruptcy website, but I will call you folks' attention to the library. And if you are by a computer, you might want to take a look there. So we will be right back after the news here on News Talk 790 KNST.